This webcast is made possible by the listener members of the Classical Network and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support. Jacobs Music Company is the proud sponsor of Between the Keys with Jed Distler. Information on any of the products or services that Jacobs Music offers is available on their website, www.jacobsmusic.com. This is Jed Distler, Artist in Residence for the Classical Network, and I welcome you again to Between the Keys. The 1920s were exciting and turbulent years for music and, of course, for the world. It was a decade full of energy, full of innovation. It was a decade where experimentation dominated the arts, with so much creativity in the air and foaming at the mouth. And, of course, the 1920s also saw the rise of fascism and the stock market crash. But we are going to focus on music from the 1920s, starting with Sergei Rachmaninoff. You know, when Rachmaninoff came to the United States in the aftermath of the Russian Revolution and World War I, he established himself primarily as a concert pianist and more or less put his composing on the back burner for a few years. But when he started composing again, it was clear that he had been assimilating the creative energy around him, but without compromising his own voice. And I think that's very evident in his fourth piano concerto, composed in 1926. We're going to hear the third and final movement performed by Leonard Slatkin and the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra with piano soloist Abby Simon.
Thank you.
The finale from Sergei Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto No. 4. We heard the St. Louis Symphony, conducted by Leonard Slatkin, and the piano soloist was Abby Simon. One really cannot talk about the classical music of the 1920s without talking about the influence of American jazz, or at least jazz idioms. And there's definitely a ragtime or kind of cakewalk feel to this little character piece that we're going to hear next that's called The Crapshooters. And it's by a composer that I am sure you have never heard of before, somebody named Eastwood Lane. Amazingly enough, Leopold Godofsky got hold of this piece and he recorded it in the early 1920s. So let's have a listen. Was the legendary pianist and teacher and composer Leopold Godofsky playing a composition by Eastwood Lane, one of his five American dances, a little piece called The Crapshooters. Apparently, Eastwood Lane's piano pieces had a strong impact on one of the great early jazz trumpet innovators, who is Leon Bix Beiderbecke. And Bix Beiderbecke had also begun composing seriously in the 1920s in addition to his jazz work. In 1927, he recorded his piano composition In a Mist on the piano. He really could get around the piano as well as the trumpet. Here's In a Mist, played by its composer, Bix Beiderbecke. Thank you. The great jazz trumpeter Leon Bix Beiderbecke in 1927, but at the piano, playing his original composition In a Mist. The influence of American jazz began to turn up in certain of Maurice Ravel's compositions in the 1920s, most obviously in his piano concerto, but you also find jazz in the central blues movement of his violin sonata. There have been many fine recordings of Ravel's violin sonata, yet the one that probably speaks to me the most was made by violinist Joseph Zigeti in the 1950s, and I love this recording for its raw, expressive core, and also the biting impact of Zigeti's pizzicato playing. So let's hear violinist Joseph Zigeti, and the pianist is Carlo Busotti, music of Ravel. Thank you. Music of Maurice Ravel, the central blues movement from his Sonata for Violin and Piano. We heard violinist Joseph Zigaty and pianist Carlo Busotti. That's a recording from the early 1950s. We are poking around what I call a 1920s grab bag here on Between the Keys. The year 1925 brought forth a major innovation in the history of sound recording when microphones were introduced to the recording studio. One of the very first electrically recorded piano discs, meaning, you know, recorded with a microphone, was with Alfred Cortot playing Frédéric Chopin's Impromptu No. 2, Opus 36 in F sharp major. So why don't we hear that now?
Thank you.
We just heard a 1925 recording with pianist Alfred Cortot playing Chopin's Impromptu No. 2 in F sharp major. Modernism was very much in the air among American composers during the 1920s, and it wasn't really until years after her death that Ruth Crawford got her due as a major voice in American modernism, as you will hear in one of her piano preludes. The piece is marked Andante Mistico, and the pianist is Bengt Forsberg, music of Ruth Crawford. Pianist Bengt Forsberg performing the sixth of Ruth Crawford's preludes for piano. The 1920s also witnessed extraordinary events in literary modernism as well as musical modernism. Let me just give you one little example.
Well, you know, don't you, Kenneth, or haven't I told you, every telling has a tailing, and that's the he and the she of it. Look, look, the dusk is growing. My branches lofty are taking root. And my cold chair's gone ashy. Feel-o,
feel-o. That's a little snippet from James Joyce in 1929, reading a section from Anna Livia Plurabel, which was a chapter from his novel In Progress that would be published 10 years later as Finnegan's Wake. And what musicality you hear in James Joyce's speaking voice. What a document. This is Jed Disler, artist in residence for the Classical Network, and you are listening to Between the Keys. We are dipping into a 1920s grab bag this hour. As listeners of the show are well aware, I am a huge, huge fan of the Harlem stride piano tradition that flourished in the 1920s, and one of its great composer-pianist practitioners was James P. Johnson. So let's hear James P. Johnson and his 1929 recording of his original composition called Jingles. James P. Johnson playing his own composition, Jingles. And as I mentioned before, James P. Johnson apparently had a few piano lessons with Leopold Godofsky, whom we heard earlier, playing music by Eastwood Lane. And Godofsky recorded another piece in the early 1920s by another American composer, Camille Zecor, who was born in Philadelphia in 1875 and died in 1924. This is a piece called In a Boat.
Thank you.
Music by Camille Zecker. That was a piece called In a Boat, and the pianist was Leopold Godofsky. Here's an early example of Duke Ellington playing a solo piano rendition of his composition Black Beauty. Black Beauty dates from 1928, and according to Ellington scholar A.H. Lawrence, the composition started out as a solo piano piece titled Firewater that Ellington played at the Cotton Club at the end of intermissions. And then he orchestrated and recorded the tune with a new title, which he called Black Beauty, dedicated to the singer, dancer, and comedian Florence Mills. And it became one of Ellington's signature songs. And sometime after he recorded it with his band, he recorded it solo piano, and that's what we are going to hear right now, Duke Ellington. Duke Ellington playing his 1928 composition Black Beauty. We're going to bring our 1920s grab bag to a close with another important American composer, Aaron Copland. His 1927 piano concerto fuses modernism and jazz elements in an entirely original way, I think. The piece was commissioned by Serge Koussevitzky, who conducted the premiere in 1927 with the Boston Symphony, with the composer at the piano. 3 decades later, Copland was on the podium to make a wonderful recording of the concerto with piano soloist Earl Wild, and we are going to hear the second of its 2 movements. Music by Aaron Copland, with the composer conducting, Earl Wild, the pianist. The second of the two movements of Aaron Copland's Piano Concerto, a work from 1927, Aaron Copland was conducting the Symphony of the Air, and the piano soloist was one of the great American keyboard artists, Earl Wild. We've had a kind of 1920s musical grab bag this past hour. The 1920s was a decade that produced so much vibrant, energetic, forward-looking, and sometimes confrontational music. Music that seems to live in the present, live in the moment, and music that really conveys a real sense of joy. This is Jed Disler, artist in residence for the Classical Network, and thank you so much for tuning in. I've got to go now, but let's be together next week at this time. So until then, take care and be well. Between the Keys is an exclusive production of the Classical Network and WWFM.org.